Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and kind of Becky review an ultra-premium wine from Chile as they drink the La Pastole Clos Apalta. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening. It's a special, special night tonight. Mm-hmm. Are you excited, Rebecca?
I am.
It is a special night. We're also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening, everyone.
The special night. We are celebrating the nuptials of a friend of the show, and tonight we're going to be drinking a wine that she has provided the show in her honor. Now, it's a very, you'll probably, if you know this wine, you'll go, that's a really nice gift to give the show. But nevertheless, she appreciates the show and we appreciate her. Today was her wedding day and her name is Holly. She also helped curate the Snoop Dogg episode too. I just like to point that out. Mm-hmm. So there's that. So, today that was her wedding. We all just got back from that. And strangely enough, her officiant, well, the Reverend, was none other than the superstar Steve Gibson.
It was a little unusual.
Steve was.
It was delightful. He did a lovely job.
It was fantastic.
He was sexy up there. Well, he looked like a waiter with his bow tie, but
he did not.
I ordered a drink from him. And he didn't appreciate that, but
tell the listeners how he started the ceremony. What song?
Well, Steve, being a very very emotional, in touch person.
And very artistic. He's a fan of poetry.
Yes. He did recite poetry by the well-renowned poet Huey Lewis in the News. And he recited the lyrics to The Power of Love from, wasn't that from Back to the Future?
I think it's been in a couple movies.
No, it wasn't Karate Kid.
Huey
Lewis wasn't in Karate Kid. That was it Air Supply or Chicago did a lot of the stuff there? That was the I am the man that will fight for your honor. Mm. I'll be your hero that you're dreaming of. We'll live forever. And the girl breaks up with him right after, the karate thing.
Happens.
That's all right, But I think it was Japan and whatever. Kind of ruined that. But the romance in Karate Kid was really the secondary part of it.
Back to the Future he was in.
Thank you. I know.
The Time Machine. Oh, I love that. Apparently it's in that as well.
It might be. No, why would that be? It's Vietnam.
Maybe that's just theming 80 movies. That was a YouTube.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because that wouldn't be, Well, on tonight's show, folks, we have a wine from La Pastole. It's La Pastole, right?
La Pastole.
Oh, I'm sorry. La Pastole. I always want to say La Pastole. It's La Pastole. But it's not just any La Pastola. You should buzz me every time I try to say La Pastola.
You said no buzzers.
Well, you could buzz me if I can't pronounce it correctly.
But you can't pronounce anything correctly.
That's punishment.
We would love to buzz you often.
I'll buzz... Anyway.
Such a baby.
Yeah, anyway. This is their Clos Apalta. Now, Clos Apalta... Well, Apalta is a separate estate that they own and they operate. And think of it as like their Opus 1 from Mondavi. So Mondavi makes his wine, and then he has Opus 1. Mm-hmm. And like Opus 1, this is fairly expensive. This is the 2011 vintage. However, in 2011, this cost $105 a bottle. So it's a value price wine tonight. Current vintage is the
seventh. When's the last time we drank something that expensive?
The Poney Canet. Well, no. That's... No. No, that's not... I don't know that we ever have done I paid for $100.
Yeah. Now, that's what I mean.
This is... Well, we didn't pay for this at all. But this is the...
Well, that bottle of Caymus would have been more than $100.
Really?
I thought Caymus was $90. I don't know.
Though. But we didn't do it on the show. So there's that.
We didn't do it on the show.
No, we didn't. Now, this is the most, probably the most expensive wine we've done on the show. strangely enough.
How much was Potenkine?
When I bought it, it was 42. Oh, how times have changed.
And what does it sell for now?
175.
Okay.
Because we bought it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we also did the Smith Old Lafitte, and I bought that for 50, and now it's 137, 140, I don't know. But, yeah, so.
The Penfold Saint-Henri would be up there.
Yes, but I bought that for $30.
And it's like a buck and a
106, 120. Yeah, I bought the most recent for. I didn't buy any more of that. What am I talking about? Anyway,
what, how much did you pay for it?
Not that. I $14. I stole it. I did the Scotch. I did the Scotch. So you stealing
marked
thing.
The price down.
Yeah,
again?
I had a sticker and I said that's $7.99. That's what I did. It's true. Anyway, this is their brother Clos Apalta. I mean, wonderful. I said it, Clos Apalta. I struggled to say it.
It's
I don't speak Chilean.
Yeah, he doesn't speak at all. You know why he's not able to speak well? Because he's got all freaked out about the buzzer game.
I'll throw something at you. They don't know about the buzzer
game. Oh, I thought he was freaking out about how much he paid for Penfolds. He doesn't want me to know.
Well, that's water under the dam, and I paid cash, so you don't know. Anyway.
What are you going to pay cash for? Damn, you can't pay cash for it on wine.com.
I didn't. I bought it at a store. It was one of those closeout things at Kroger, and they didn't know what they had, so I stole it, basically.
Of course.
But this is 71% Carmignier, although the review suggests it's 56, but that's okay.
There's some dispute.
Their website says 71%, 20% Cabernet, and 9% Merlot, 24 months in French oak. Fantastic. So.
The sediment in the bottle.
Well, yeah. We've had it for over a year now.
We picked it up.
I don't think we had it that
long. It was the same time that roughly the same time as the 19 Crimes Snoop Dogg thing.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. It might have been earlier this year, but I don't think so.
It wasn't this year. It was last year.
It was.
It could not have been this year. It was definitely last year sometime. It would have been pre-October. I feel like it was right around when Holly got engaged.
It was before. Before
I think it was after Holly got engaged.
Because I remember seeing her ring. So yes. I don't remember when that was, but I think it was like May, June.
Something like that. Because we were debating doing it for the Christmas episode, but then somehow you got pregnant. I don't know how that happened.
And broke my leg.
And you broke your leg too. There's two
so
things. It's
Rob
not a competition.
Was responsible for both things.
No, William was responsible for the broken leg.
No, you broke her leg. That's the story.
That's my emotions. I was like, but I did not.
So much.
There's no evidence of that. Regardless.
So what's the secret word tonight?
It's this right here. Whenever I do this, you can do the buzzer, and you'll be doing it a lot.
I'm going to just come up with that just in our everyday life, and every time he says a word to me, I'm going to buzz him, and it's going to be
okay.
Car. That's freaking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Car?
You just, okay. need to put the buzzer on your phone.
I'm going to use motor vehicle.
So here's the thing, though. So he played a buzzer game, and he doesn't like it. He's not going to air the episode because he's a baby.
No, no, no. You won't know about it because I've already. It's actually going to go out tomorrow, and you'll wonder why. Well, you'll find out.
It's going to be a very abbreviated episode.
No, no, it's really so you amazingly done.
So you're not going to. Yeah, he's
you really like it. You won't look stupid at all.
I forgot how mad you got.
Oh my god, he got mad.
You know what's great though?
He was so mad.
As the editor, you know, things can happen.
Okay.
You know.
Let's move on to the wine.
That's true. Well, first we're going to move on to commercial break. Commercial for our own podcast. But that's okay. Nevertheless, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2011 L'Apostolo Clo'Apalta. Now, we have some reviews. Unfortunately, I did not print these off. So
there's a lot of reviews. And people like it. Hey, Mikey, they like it. He likes it.
I think we should go lowest to highest, don't you think?
Why not?
First, the Wine Speculator.
Okay. Can you turn this music down?
Yeah, it's a little loud. A little loud. It's also not very good. The Wine Spectator gave this wine 92 of their points. Okay. And they wrote, "This is redolent of milk chocolate and raspberry preserve." Redolent, yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that SAT word.
Using the big words, yes. Yeah. And raspberry preserves with plenty of cream and spice in the mix. Offers a mocha-filled mid-palate with savory notes and the spicy finish. A rich and well-crafted red. Drink now through 2018. Okay, let's just ignore that. 3,500 cases made.
Yes. Hi. Hello, Wilford.
It's me, Wilford Wong.
How are you, Wilford?
I'm lovely. I was not invited to the wedding.
Well, they weren't serving mango chutney.
No.
There was a wonderful coriander turmeric.
I heard some asshole called this mayonnaise thing aioli. It's not.
It was a wonderful aioli.
That's a strong word. Use of the word wonderful. It was very adequate. I've heard you called adequate before.
Well,
in a very personal manner, I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, I gave it 93 of my points, and
that's a lot of your points.
I know, and they didn't print my diary this time. It's just a normal review. So they said, I said, a pretty fine effort. The 2011 L'Apostolo Clo'Apalta. Offers tremendous elegance in a large volume wine. This wine's fullness. I was drinking the regular. This wine's fullness combined with its excellent structure suggests lamb as a matching meat entree. Drinking youthfully now. How I stayed. Employed after that review, no one knows.
We're questioning your employment
here.
I think I got fired. That was in 2016 when I reviewed that. Large volume wine. It's not that well. I mean,
Willie, you're losing it, buddy.
Compared to Lindeman's Bin 65 Chardonnay, it's not a large volume wine. Right? Anyway, that's all I wrote.
And then the tasting panel. They had a quorum. Everybody got together on this one.
They did.
And they gave it 93. And they wrote, dark and dense with velvety texture and ripe, smooth plum and black raspberry fruit. Notes of chocolate, licorice, and spice. They just were picking everything.
Yeah.
Deep and long.
There's a fountain blow.
Yeah.
And they said Cabernet, Cab Franc, Merlot, Petit Verdot, and Carmenier, which is not correct.
That's what they said it was made out of?
Yes.
Jeez.
Push the buzzer.
That's a lot.
And they're wrong. It's not made of that. Give them the buzzer, Scott. Jesus. Apparently, the one that was smart wasn't at the panel that night. You know. Ricky had to work. Hey, man, I can't make it. You're drinking L'Apostolo? Isn't it pronounced L'Apostolo? No? Okay.
Ricky, don't lose that number.
Jesus Ricky couldn't Christ. Make it.
They're like, just pick all the red wines that they have. We even put down it's made of jam. Jesus. Robert Parker next. He gave in 93 of his points, and he wrote a lot of things. We'll move on. It's like 10 paragraphs. It's War and Peace, Robert. We have some drinking to do.
Everyone writes a lot. I feel like because it's expensive, they're like, I'm going to bust out some ACT words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to really, really.
What are they? I don't understand it.
Enthusiast. They're next. They give it 95 of their points. Cool aromas of cola, coffee, blackberries, stewed plums, herbs, and minerals make for a highly attractive and complex bouquet. In the mouth, wall-to-wall power tannins suggest this is a few more years to mellow out. Main thing is, drink from Carolina barbecue sauce. Oh, wow. Drink from 16 to 2025. And they said it was 57% Carmenere, 34% Cabernet, and 9% Merlot. They got the Merlot correct. The rest of it is wrong, according to the website.
Who are you going to believe? Some well, dummy that actually made the wine?
You could believe me. This is James Suckley and I. Strangely enough,
I'm just going to take a nap while you do this. You and then tell me
take a deep sleep. Anyway, I gave this wine 96 of my points. I ran out of points afterwards. Anyway, I wrote tremendously, by the way. I'm such a good writer. This is a great wine with polished tannins that have tension and intensity, making you want to drink it. Okay. There's wines, apparently, that are the opposite. That would be Costco's Alexander Valley Cabernet. Yes, that makes you not want to drink it.
Easy.
Shows wonderful reserve and focus. Precision winemaking, which is not a sentence. A blend of Carmenere, Merlot, and Cabernet. Always one of the top wines of Chile. Drink me or hold me.
He didn't say it.
I did. Drink or hold.
We know you said it, but did he really say that?
I said it. Gross. I said it with the burning passion in my loins.
You've got a $100 bottle of wine that's rated 96, yes. And you're going to call it drink or hold. It's plainly you said it back.
No. Drink or hold.
James, this isn't a date with Wilford.
He's far too young for me. I'm 372 years old.
Wilford, don't put yourself down like that.
I was in a sarcophagus earlier. They just let me out. I have a small pyramid. It's made of a cardboard box. Have you ever made a cardboard box into a pyramid?
When I was 4.
Oh.
Easy. Don't look at me like that, Wilford. You're making me uncomfortable.
It took me 275 years to get to be able to do it. You did it when you were 4? You were advanced.
Well, you know.
That's amazing. I'm so impressed by your prowess. And you how old are you now?
372.
Wow.
So in the glass, it's dark. Like Carmenere should be.
Like an aged wine.
Or maybe
should
Petit
be.
Verdot.
It's really dark.
Very dense, very
you
dense.
You know it's a cellared wine when you stick your nose in there.
Mm-hmm.
Dark.
Portish, a backstrap of blackjack. Licorice.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Maybe a little bit of tar, but not in an oppressive way.
Black rubber, almost like.
Yeah, vulcanized.
Vulcanized,
but very rubber. But it's more just the essence. It's not really a strong part of it. Maybe a slight bit of caramel.
You're tasting?
Mm-hmm.
Makes me very happy. There's, you know, it's just a bit of an oddball. I mean, who buys this, right? But this is fantastic, folks. A wine like this just makes me happy.
Not everybody does it make them happy.
Apparently it's
not a Becky wine.
No, it's not. First of all, Carmenere, I've never had an ultra premium Carmenere before. And I could get it because Carmenere is kind of like, it's an oddball, like you said.
Yeah.
It's full bodied, but it has a slight, it's more, I wouldn't call it necessarily port, but slightly Amador-esque, the weighty headiness of it. What's the alcohol level on this?
It drinks like a 45.
It's 14.2.
Don't you think it tastes a lot boozier than that?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, partly because it's just the fleshiness of that Carmenere.
Yeah, it comes across as boozy. I'm not sure that it is.
No, it's not really. But...
So, savory fruit. Mm-hmm. Nothing but pencil lead on the front palate.
That's a little bit. A little bit.
It's naked. It's not big, but it's pencil lead right on the front. I think there's red meat in the background at the mid palate.
A little bit.
But the superstar of this wine is this tannic backbone. And it's not the longest. So it's one of those finishes that kind of peters off really quick, but then it's forever. So it's not this big jump in your face finish that's just. So it goes relatively quick to the finish, and then it kind of peters out, except that finish lasts frickin' forever.
They're also
kind of interesting.
There's also a sweet toasted oak that, and you can tell the new French.
Beautiful.
That hits the mid palate. I mean, it's nice. It works with the Carmenier. It works with the structure of the wine. Becky, do you like that?
No.
I didn't think so.
Well,
it's not a Becky wine.
It's not really the oaking that's doing it to you.
It's not the oaking. I don't like any of it.
No.
I don't like the red meat. When you said that, I was like, that's spot on. What I don't like that in wine at all. But.
It tastes of a heady Languedoc.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Because if I was blind tasting this, I would think it's some...
French.
Probably French, but it's very astringent, so I probably wouldn't necessarily... I mean, flavor profile kind of tastes like a ripe Grenache, but the astringency...
I would definitely think European.
Yeah, the astringency doesn't work with that. So, and there's not enough Merlot really there to be affecting that too, but... So I'm kind of wondering if I was blind tasting where I would go.
Not Carmenier.
No. I mean, how many Carmeniers have I had? I don't know, 20 over my life.
Yeah, we've done a couple.
Not enough
of things
to be able to pick it out, or it's not going to come to my mind. You know what I mean?
Never. I mean, if we were playing the game and we had an oddball, didn't know what it was, and that was one of the choices, you might go that way.
The game, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has almost like a Syrah thing going on.
Belle-Biv DeVoe Station now has Missy Elliott on.
Oh, yeah, they're really slipping. No, I yeah.
Hey, we love her.
Whatever.
Oh, I love Missy Elliott too. It just doesn't belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has elements of many things. It reminds you little winks and nods of all sorts of different varietals that it isn't. You know, I can see why you would get tripped up with Syrah. I don't know that's where I would go. Yeah, this is an interesting game where you're trying to figure out how would you guess it wrong?
Anyway, yeah, what would you guess this is? Not Carmenier.
No. It doesn't taste of Malbec.
Let's tick-tock this off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I feel bad drinking this. Honestly, I don't like it at all.
You have to drink it for science purposes.
I know, but I feel bad drinking it when I know it's more up your all's alley. How's that?
Do we have is there an alley that we're not up? I'm kind of curious because we like everything pretty much.
Well,
I mean, you know.
You like to be snobby about white wine.
But there are many white wines I love. Well, I mean, I can count them on two hands, but that's not the point. I mean,
you can count on one hand.
I like El Amigio. Was the El Amigio?
That was good.
That was really good. I like that.
You like the White Coat.
Yeah, I like the Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. Or not Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, Kim Crawford Chardonnay. It's nice and fruity and soft and ripe. I liked it. It's good. Duck Horn Sauvignon Blanc? Yeah. Here's a question for California producers.
You have Chardonnay, right? We know that. Why do you want your Sauvignon Blancs to taste like Chardonnay? What is this about? I mean, Chardonnay tastes like Chardonnay. They oak it. Okay, great. But Sauvignon Blancs, why are you trying to make them taste like Chardonnay by oaking them? Because that's what you're trying to do.
Well,
and it isn't as good.
Yeah.
I mean, either you're masking grape stock that blows, or you're trying to show some sort of cleverness that you do not have, or you just wish you made, you know, 15,000 more cases of Chardonnay. I don't know.
I think the most obvious thing is they're trying to make a Sauvignon Blanc that crosses over to Chardonnay drinkers and have an appearance of elegance because of oaking a Sauvignon Blanc.
This is I'm going to give you a little bit because you still have to have. She has to have something. Here. Oops. That's for tasting purposes. Science. I get more than you. That's right. I'm sorry you don't like this, Becky.
Well, okay. Off air while we were hypothelating. We might have tried this before you came down, and I'm not surprised.
Oh, when you knew?
I'm not surprised.
No, I knew you wouldn't like it second it hit my lips. I'm like no. No. And you don't like Amador Zins. You don't like those either, Scott, but that's because you're just a wuss.
You know what I like?
You don't like things that taste boozy. And I wouldn't call this boozy, but it certainly has the elements that we would associate with Beam. Because that quasi-opulent, slightly hedonistic front palate of drippy, you know.
Slightly hedonistic. That's a great way to describe it.
It's slightly hedonistic. This wine is slightly hedonistic. Caligula would drink this.
It just...
I mean,
in another wine, you might say that the oaking is too much. I'm not, but this is.
What is that other wine? Behringer White Zinfandel? I mean, what is this other wine? In another wine,
there is a lot of oak there.
Yeah, there is a lot of oak there,
and this wine can stand up to it.
It can. Now, I think. Well, no, Enthusiast says we're right within the window. I mean, they also have the mix wrong, but it's not like they're not tasting Pinot Noir.
This is, in my opinion, nowhere near done. No, this isn't going to go 5 more years.
But it has nothing left to.
But it's not started down the slope. These tans are humongous.
You know what I'd say it is? I would have said it's an Australian Shiraz from Barossa. The astringency, though, would have thrown me off.
Yeah.
It tastes like an Australian Shiraz from Barossa to me. Maybe not quite as buttery and annoying and sucky.
And not as... But it's not as beastly.
I think it's pretty beastly.
Well, but it's in a...
It's that hedonistic... What would you... I mean, I don't even know.
There's
a blueberry, blackberry reduction with a bit of tar, red meat.
I'd like it for that lead pencil.
Yeah, sure. And then a butt-ass load of tannin and astringency with fairly pronounced oaking, which some might mistake for American oak. Because it's pretty prominent French oak. I mean, those things... They opened the box. They ordered those things on Amazon. They were good. It was a good Amazon. And they got them prime. As soon as they opened those boxes, they put that damn wine in there. I mean, it's imparting it. And you can tell it's a small oak barrel, and it is imparting a lot. Now, what is it not doing? It's not a charred oak. It's not showing something that's... But it's showing a lot of spicy headiness to it. It all kind of flows, but, you know...
I
would go Shiraz. I'd be wrong.
No, I get that.
You need to wipe your nose or blow your nose.
You need to. That's right.
Well,
a little cocaine on my nose, folks.
I know. I feel like I need to go check on Henry.
No, you need to sit there and drink.
I don't like it at all.
Oh, no, you didn't drink. You have water. Drink that. It's lovely. You can review the water. See, I'm starting to get Scott back into where he needs to be, because the more you drink it, the more you go, that's a lot, you know.
A lot of wine.
Yeah,
it's just.
It is.
This is. I understand. The reviews there, and I get that.
Not all of the reviews. Some of the reviews.
Well, some of them don't, are nonsensical, but what I'm getting at is the scores.
No, I meant that too. I 96, that's a crackhead score.
Well, but it's James Suckling.
Yes, 95.
He's got a lot of points.
Crackhead score, because I'll tell you why. Think of things that we have previously reviewed highly, right? What do they have that this wine does not have? I can answer that question for you. Complexity.
It is not the most complex wine.
No.
But
it's weighty and it's brutish.
For the style, it has no...
At 100 and...
It has no traditional fruit whatsoever.
It does not...
There might be some, like, stewed something there in the mid-palate, but that front palate is absent of fruit. There's nothing but that. What I'm describing is pencil lead, whatever that minerality is at the front. I'd like that. It's unusual. It's an oddball in that way. There's no fruit present in the front of that. I guess maybe somewhere in the background, if you want it to be there, you could say there's some sort of berry thing there. I would disagree. I think the front palate, and it doesn't zing by either. So it's not that wine where the front palate goes so fast that well, there's a fruit there. I don't know what it is. That's not this.
Well,
this is a pretty lengthy front palate, and it's pencil lead.
Well, see, my take on it is, and maybe Petite Sirah, you mistake it for Petite Sirah. But
okay.
Yeah, because it does emulate that a little bit. The thing is, it has extremely, extremely grippy tannins. Big, big tannins. It's one of the more tannic things we've come across, period. But
I wouldn't expect that in a Carmenere. I don't give a shit where it's from.
You would think then that, this has a considerable amount of aging potential. The problem is the grape stock in the front, the wine that's showing in the front and the mid are already showing a little bit of where they are going to be. I mean, I don't see violet peeking out of any of that. I don't see something expanding from what's there. It doesn't taste of a wine that is closed because it's too young. It doesn't come across that way.
I'll tell you why I think it's got a couple more years and it could improve. I think the oak could mellow a little more.
It's got 10 years in it. How much fucking mellowing does it need?
Saying just a little more mellow in the oaking and it's even better. That's all I was saying about give it a couple.
But
it's got a couple more years.
But it needs to lengthen too.
But it's a soft, you know, it finishes. There's a big part of the finish, and that doesn't last very long. And then it kind of peters off. But then that where it petered off to that level, it just continues forever.
See,
it's like a 45-second finish.
Yeah, but that's mostly.
It's mostly that. Lingering tannin thing. I get it.
And that, the French oak.
I love the finish on this.
Yeah, but we've had other finishes.
And I agree.
What I would say.
If I bought this today at $130 and this is what I got at the end of the day, I would not be disappointed. I would not be disappointed. I'm not saying I'm rushing out to get this, but in my mind, when we were talking about this off air, I thought I could buy this. Now, am I going to, or am I going to spend $130 somewhere else? Am I going to spend $130 on something French? Yeah, but as you progress in life, I would keep this in mind. Plus, I love that La Pastole, the French Chateauneufs that they do. So it's like, for me, there's that little connection to this because of that.
What this wine needs.
In fact, I'll probably buy this because of that. Not today, not tomorrow, but I will probably buy this again. Buy this, period.
What would make this wine better, and I can tell you this right now, would be you pair the front palate with a lovely, soft, expansive finish. Silkiness.
I get it.
Elegance.
Sure.
Something that counterbalances but improves on the earlier. It's not a sledgehammer, where the front is a sledgehammer in its approach. And then the finish is a chainsaw sledgehammer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen a chainsaw / sledgehammer before, but that's what it is. And it's too much. It's not something where it goes.
It's a Roberto Rodriguez movie.
But there's no deft touch. There isn't. There isn't elegance in this wine. There's no elegance.
You know, in this Robert Rodriguez movie that your leg got cut off, that's the chainsaw, and your head's cut off, and that's a sledgehammer.
It's like saying, my voice is elegant. I'm not elegant. This is not an elegant voice.
Wilford, do you know
it's
what
this wine It's very grating.
Means? What did you say this would pair well with?
Lamb of some kind.
I think this would pair wonderfully with lamb.
No. This pairs well with chili. Really strong, spicy chili. This wine pairs well with a chili bean burrito from Taco Bell. I had one time. Chili I was on the burrito. Toilet for 17 hours.
Wilford, you do that every day playing with your wong, Willie.
Okay. Nobody needs to know why I was in there, okay? I said it was because of the burrito.
The chili bean burrito? It's chili cheese chilito.
No, they made me. I had a special order. It didn't taste very good.
I'll bet you did have a special order,
I did. The wine guy one time did get a bean burrito from Taco Bell.
With chili on it?
No. It was like a cheese and had some beef and some refried beans on it.
That's not a bean burrito.
I don't know what it was. It tastes like shit. It's horrible.
It's Taco Bell. What do you want, Wilford?
I want something that doesn't taste like somebody's butt.
Are you sure about that?
Oh. Not just anybody's butt. There's certain... Well, never mind.
Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on The Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, as we said earlier on the show, the Triple B has given up on this wine. I think
she really didn't like it. She's never abandoned us before.
I think she's
you're used to her abandoning on air.
I think she's so dejected that she hates this wine that she can't be in the same room with it.
I think she hates you.
When we first tasted this, I went,
that was your first thought?
She's going to fucking hate this. I mean, that's fine.
But we love it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I understand. Well, it's like, if I were going to craft a wine
for her to not like,
it would be this wine. It would be.
Now, did you know how bad we sound right now laughing about this?
I mean, but no, it's like, oh my God, everything about this wine, Becky would hate. And I understand why.
I think
I don't hate it, but I understand why she hates it, and she's completely right.
Well, but you know, there was a time where she couldn't drink a wine that's oaked this way. That's not the problem.
There's a reason. I agree. I think part of it. This wine, perhaps, 5 years ago, how could you have even drank it? It would have been a freaking oak plank your face would have collapsed in on itself.
There's a reason they hold this back.
It wasn't youthful and soft 5 years ago.
What'd you say is the current vintage? 2017. 2017. There's a reason they hold it back.
But I don't know.
But Jimmy's saying hold or drink now.
Jimmy he's holding his dick. That's what he's doing.
That's Willie's job.
Well, okay. Well, that's true. The thing is, with this wine, I just don't sense nuance. And if you put it in front of me, I would think, really, I'd say that, you know, that's really good. I mean, I think it's a great value at $24.
You know, come on. This is, you know, this is a much better wine than that. I think that's a real astute judgment that it's not.
I would give it a 90, but I would think it was cheaper. I don't take price into account.
I know this is okay. The minute I stuck my nose in, I know this was an aged wine. It's a nice wine.
I've drank $100 bottles of wine a lot, and I this is not that.
Okay, but again, remember this is Carmier.
They're the ones that chose to make this wine out of that.
I think it's really well done.
I didn't say, hey, guys, make it out of a wine that isn't all that great or is odd. And they went, okay, let's build this fancy building. It's not the Carmenier's fault. It's the way they structured it in reference to the Carmenier. They could have accentuated the strengths of it. But instead, they said, let's make it taste like Hermitage from France. And it doesn't taste like that. I don't know what it tastes like. It tastes like an amalgam.
You're talking yourself out of liking this. You're trying to justify the Triple B not liking it. You're trying to score points with the boss.
She ain't even here. She left. She walked off the show.
You feel so bad about how you treated her this week.
I know.
That
I don't.
You're trying to score points while she's not even here with us.
Not really. No, don't feel bad about that at all.
I think the wine guy's backpedaling.
No.
I think he loved this wine earlier. Now he's saying he doesn't. I love this wine. It is not peculiar. But it could come across almost as bitter.
No.
But it's not, I mean, you know, way like if you've ever had bitters, you know, there's just a little bitter profile.
You know what? You know when I said I think it tasted like Languedoc? I don't feel that way anymore. You know what I think it tastes like?
I think there's a little Languedoc in there.
There might be a little bit of elements to it.
But what do you think it tastes like?
It's jazzy.
No, it's jazzy?
A little bit.
Have you been to a wedding and drinking?
Well, I didn't drink that much. I drank some wonderful, what is it, Boylan's Diet Cola? It's fucking delicious.
Yeah, if you've never had Boylan's soda, I've been to three weddings in the last 18 months, and all three they serve Boylan's, and it is freaking good.
I wish I had some right now. I'd drink it instead of that.
Went to another wedding. It was Cheer Cola. That was good stuff, too.
No, this is a great wine, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that love it. Stylistically, it does not necessarily speak to me. For me, what I'm trying to figure out is where on the Olympic scale I feel it sits. Probably because Carmenier is such an, you know, it's not something that's been touched by me that much, but also high-end Carmenier. You know, what do I know?
What, do you think they don't get those cards in the mail and Chile? Of course they get the cards with your picture on the mail. Don't touch those children anymore. How dare you?
I think that it's such a big brutish wine. And that drink right there was very nice. But it's so brutish. It's so brutish. I'm trying to think of the last time, and I've tasted a wine like this before. I just can't put, damn it. It's just so big and so brutish and so. And nobody seems to think, any of the experts seem to think that this wine can age and develop. They don't.
2025 was the one.
That's 4 years. That's not that much for $130. But it doesn't. But I'm thinking, man. It's just so big framed and burly.
Yeah. I
but I don't think the fruit is structured to the point where you're going to want to drink it as it gets 10, 15,
I get
20
that.
Years.
I get that. But so it's, and damn I it. I said it. There's no fruit on the front palate.
It's nothing. Like It's like you see this car that looks great.
But paint, the ass end's all rusted out?
But the underneath is all rusted. Today I went and looked at a Toyota 4Runner at Drive Direct. It was Toyota Direct's used lot, whatever, in Columbus on Morris Road.
Are you sure that's related with them? That doesn't sound like a dealership related. That sounds like a used car lot.
No, it is their big superstore for used cars, but it is Toyota Direct's used car.
And what's it called again?
Drive Direct.
Yeah, of course it's related to the dealership.
Yeah. It's because they said Toyota Direct, Drive Direct.
And a big sign in the window that, you know.
It's like
Keno tickets, and then off in the corner it says buy here, pay here.
No, it doesn't say that. It's a really huge lot. But, I mean, guys, no. Shitty cars. I think that I wouldn't buy a car from there. And quite frankly, Scott, it is a fancy big lot that's associated with Toyota Direct, but the cars that they're selling mostly probably do belong on the lot with the Keno in the window. I mean, that you should probably be buying those cars where they're selling it out of a mobile home. That's
awesome.
Well, I know. But for premium prices, mind you. There you go.
And not just any mobile home. Not the 64-footer.
No.
The 56-footer.
They're basically a borderline caravan, and they sit up on blocks. Yes, that's what these
are. Caravan for me, man.
Yeah.
Caravan for me, man.
I prefer the pink periwinkle blue myself, so.
That's the best Brad Pitt role ever.
Yeah, I mean, there's many movies of his.
That's freaking fantastic.
Oh, Snatch is great. I like Spy Game.
Yeah.
It's a good, entertaining movie. That's more Robert Redford than him, but still.
But Snatch is
freaking Oh, no, that's a great movie. Yeah. You know it isn't good.
Who's your favorite role in that? Brad Pitt's pretty fucking good.
I'm a Jason Statham. I mean,
yeah, he's great, but Dennis Farina is.
Dennis Farina is Shut up and sit down, you big bald fuck. We've got sandy beaches. Well, who the fuck wants to see him?
Sandy?
Yeah,
I'm gonna talk to you tonight. You want me?
You can call me Susan if. Do I call you Bullet? Do I call you Tooth? You can call me Sandy, or what is it, Sandy? If
money's right. What the dog swallow?
Like a squeaky toy.
A squeaky toy.
But he also, yeah. But he swallowed the big diamond.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Brick top.
I wonder if that's. I wonder what that's streaming on.
Mm.
You know,
that's not on DVD, but
that's one that
I don't have a working DVD player. So.
That's one that you can always come back to.
Yes.
What are you coming back to? What are you watching? Anything?
Not really.
I'm back on Letterkenny. I need some humor in my life, and that just does it for me.
We,
I love it.
We did the stream when we were on vacation. Oh yeah, we're on vacation. Oh, I'll tell you that really briefly, but. We streamed Black Widow. And by the way, Black Widow, or Marvel, when you have a movie that is set in 2015, 2016, fucking release it in 2015, 2016, not 20 fucking 21. That's why no one went to see it, because it already happened. Stupid. Really, you know. And the movie wasn't very good either, but it's like, really? It was set right after Civil War, Captain America Civil War, and right before Infinity Wars.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so that's when you release it, and it was a direct link between those two.
Okay, now you're gonna have time on the. Now you're gonna have problems with the time travel and this whole Marvel thing.
Hey man, anymore.
Dude, they've been bouncing back and forth for years.
It's. Whatever. Loki's a very good show, but it's getting hard. Well, just you take each movie as it goes. I don't know that. I
can run upstairs. If it's getting hard, just go run upstairs. Do what you got to do. I'll keep the show
going. I'll sit right here, baby. Anyway, I was in Tampa, Florida. Well, no, Anna Marie Island, right off.
I thought you were south of Anna Marie.
No. Holmes Beach, right there, Anna Marie Island. Tampa, Bradenton area, St. Petersburg. Lovely, beautiful area. Beautiful area. We'll be back. That's where we're going, I'm sure, next year, too. We loved it. Nice, beautiful, clear water. We didn't have the red tide.
What made you change? You were doing the high rise in Myrtle Beach. And then
she was just nervous about that, and she made the right call. We got $100 round trip flights for all six of us.
So she was concerned about the Delta variant.
She was, but she also was more concerned with there was 10,000 people and you wouldn't be able to enjoy yourself.
It's just...
And we had our own house, our own pool, our own grill. We had a golf cart.
Small backyard, but it's fantastically landscaped, and it was all pool.
Yeah, it was a grotto with... It had a canopy, for Christ's sake. A natural jungle canopy.
Waterfall?
Yes.
Or I guess you'd call that a water installation.
Well, the filter brought it back. So basically, the pool filter then ran the water back into the pool via a waterfall-esque...
It's like a rock installation looking thing.
Yeah.
It was heated. Awesome.
It was heated, but...
You didn't need it.
No, it had its own heat pump for it. Scott, spared no expense. And I think it, at the deepest point, it was like 5.5 feet.
That's all you need, man.
And it had a little sun deck.
In the pool, right. Yeah,
and it had the table built in with seating.
Yeah.
Which
that's just expensive.
Oh, I'm sure it was very expensive. And we had about a bajillion lizards.
An installation like that's like 10 grand more.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Just you take that same pool, don't have that deck in it.
Yeah.
That ledge.
Yeah.
10 grand less.
Well, we use the table as we put a inner tube on it, and we use that as a basketball hoop spot. So, you know. But we had all the inflatables when we got there, everything. They even had like the big alligator kind of float.
Yeah, right on.
It had everything. They already had the umbrellas for. They already had all the beach chairs.
Well, it's Airbnb.
No, it's not Airbnb. It's VRBO.
Oh.
But it's a rental company, though.
You an old school.
It's a rental company.
Well, it's the Airbnb before Airbnb was Airbnb. But VRBO is all like week rentals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's just a dedicated rental. But these people, you saw the furniture in the picture, top notch. It had like the propane fireplace in that table.
You know, and
we never used it, but, you know, and that grill, it liked to cook things at 700 degrees.
That's a wonderful way to make a steak.
And that's also gas. I've never been, yes. But it was so hot, you barely could open it. But that's okay. I did some bone-in strips from the fresh market.
How much did you spend on fish?
I spent $84 on fish.
Yeah, I'll take the whole fillet. Give me two of those fillets.
Becky likes the red snapper. What? She likes the red snapper, and I wasn't paying attention. And it's $28 a pound. And I said, I'll take two fillets. And that is $87 because the red snapper is a large fish. But we parlayed that into two dinners. So we did one fillet one night, and we did that with Kim Crawford Chardonnay. And that was a beautiful pairing. And I bought like a dill herb butter.
Nice.
So I did it in the oven, 425. It was a recipe I found. 425 and cooked it. And then I turned on the broiler. But it was covered in butter.
I love getting those crispy bits. Yeah,
just little crispy bits with that wonderful butter, dill butter melted all over it.
But I think if you're going to do dill, you need to, I think you need to heat it up.
It was delicious.
I think that it's weird. You know, you think that releases it, but dill's so strong.
Yeah.
I think it actually knocks it down a little bit when you cook the dill a little bit. And it softens that flavor.
Well, it, you know, but and then we did the second night we did a Duckhorn Napa Sauvignon Blanc, because down there there was a place called Hurricane Liquors, and they had really cheap prices on Duckhorn. So Duckhorn Sauvignon Blanc was $20. Chardonnay was $20. The Merlot was $30. I got a couple of Merlots.
Yeah, you should go in that way.
The cab was $50. I didn't buy any of the cab, but they had some
regular 70-75.
Yeah,
that's how do they do that?
I don't know. Nobody else did it. They had like Conundrum for $14.
Yeah, that's 24, 23.
Mm-hmm. And some rather random stuff. I also bought the Marietta Vineyards Lot 71. Remember the got 94 from Parker?
I don't that's Cal. I don't know Marietta Vineyards.
You know Marietta.
Cali?
Yeah.
I don't know Marietta. It doesn't ring a bell. I've not had
it. You've had it.
Where?
You've had it at Probst. You've bought it by yourself because you swear by it because it is a nice Zin-based producer. They do that that old red, old ZV red or whatever.
Oh, that's Marietta.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
okay.
So this is the one I bought. That
I just didn't, I can't say I've had that label.
Oh. Well, normally here we buy Lot 70. That's at Giant Eagle. Well, this is the Lot 71, which is harder to find.
Which, it's Marietta Vineyards.
Yeah.
I've not had that.
Yes, you have.
I'm telling you, I haven't had that.
I'll show you the bottle. You'll recognize it. Okay. But anyway, this got a 94 from Parker. It's got, even not at a good temperature, this was one of the more plusher, richer wine experiences. Just a drinker. It was magnificent.
Huh.
Then I did Volver, which...
I love that on vacation, man.
We love Volver.
I love that whole family of wine.
By the way, Volver was $14. And so was the Marietta.
Well, depending on which Volver it is, you can get it cheaper.
This was Volver. Not right. Terama Hill. This was our regular, normally $20 Volver. Hmm. Lovely. Did Bone and Strips, big ones. And then we went to Sandbar, which is one of the local restaurants. And it's on the beach, literally on the beach, where you eat on the beach. They have like a tent, and then there's the sand. And it's all white sand, by the way, there. And I did, and I'm on the beach, so I did a pina colada. And I got some local fried shrimp.
Huh.
It's delicious. Hush puppies. Lukey had a pizza. William had grilled shrimp, which he liked. And Henry had mac and cheese because he's a Ponce. And Becky had like fish tacos, which she just loved. But
I've never had that fish taco experience where I went, oh, now I get it.
The boys loved it because it was just fun and they liked the food that they ate. It was really, the shrimp was really tasty. And once again, it's not keto, but I didn't give a shit. I was on vacation. Then the next night we went to a taco place Becky wanted, a Mexican place that she wanted to really go to. It was, I forget what it was. But a little further south, and it was really hot out there. But it was good food. I did fajitas, and I was drinking Corona Lights.
It's and you call your 8-year-old son for eating macaroni and cheese a Ponce.
Well, whatever. I wanted a beer. And
I thought you wanted a beer.
Well,
they didn't have Negro Modelo or
I wanted something that was low calories, man. And you know what Corona Light tastes like?
Piss.
No, it tastes like Corona. You know, I just was like, whatever.
Corona's bitter. There's a reason they put limes in them because it's bitter.
And I've never minded Corona. I mean, it's not like you're
gonna... so many good. Mexican
no, beers. I agree.
Pacifico's
lovely.
And you know, Modelo and Negro Modelo are two fantastic beers, in my opinion.
No, those are all good beers. And you know what isn't?
The thing about
Dos Equis. Not a good beer.
I'd rather have Dos Equis than Corona.
Well, sure, but Corona's...
Dos Equis dark. Ooh.
Corona is the milkshake of Mexican beers. But you know what about milkshakes? They taste good. They're not good for you, but they taste good.
Why?
That's Corona.
Well,
Pacifico, though, is my favorite. They didn't have Pacifico.
It's not easy. It's not always readily accessible.
No.
What's Jimmy Buffett's beer? No.
It's margarita, isn't it?
Landshark.
That sucks.
Is that Jimmy Buffett or is that...
isn't that a Hefeweizen?
No, it's a Mexican style profile beer.
It's an ass beer.
Or is that Sammy Hagar's beer? Who's Landshark?
I don't know. I mean, it could be worse. It could be that, like, you could drink what, Shock Top? Shock Top's always the beer that you drink at some concert in like a 32-ounce glass or cup, and it's warm. Like the last two thirds,
it's
like,
just Shock Top's just a twist on Blue Moon. You know?
Yes.
And you don't want that. I spent $12 on this. I have to drink it. And Blue Moon sucks. Blue Moon is trash.
That's good.
No, Blue Moon is trash. Steve one time said, give me a Blue Moon. And, but I want an orange in it. I went, okay. And I had the bartender put 6 oranges in his beer. That's the Reverend Steve Gibson. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Unconventional thinking means we see things differently. What are you, so you, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
The land shark.
Oh, Jesus. It's not worth that. Excuse me.
Oh, the land shark.
Dang it. I stole the rest of Becky's sample. Now, I will say, Becky, before she left, would you turn that off? It's not. It's annoying.
I thought we went off the air, so I turned off the lunch.
Becky, before she left, and we'll go to a break shortly, she did write her name, and then she wrote Maggie's name. She likes to, like, fancy.
Actually, she had done that before she picked up the...
She, turn that off.
Who is it? This is
Robin.
Who is it?
Gilda Radner's great. It's freaking Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, telegram, just a moment.
The land shark.
Well, folks, with that, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. We're back.
We're
folks.
Back.
Yes.
It's good to be back.
Yes. So for the 2011 La Postole.
La
Postole. Postole. Yeah, I'm sorry. La Postole.
Postole.
Close a clo, a palta. We're going to go over to Scott. The Triple B Wood Review. I'm going to do the Triple B's review.
Hi, this is the Triple B. I left the show because I didn't like the wine and got the Riziki. I'll provide this wine 92 my points. I like it. I wish it was Kim Crawford. I like Love Blog. Yum, yum.
That's Becky. Sorry. Scott, he's disgusted.
You're so wrong.
Yeah. She left.
I love it.
Okay.
I get it.
Get what?
I'm not going to give as many of the points as Jimmy and Willie did, but I like it for 91. I get it. It's as oaky as one can have it, but it's right there on the edge, and I love it. It's just on the verge of being too much. That's why I said I think it could use a couple more years, or it might have a couple more years in it. But the length is spectacular. I like the kind of transition things it does. So at first the finish is big and burly, and then it just tapers off to this where the tannins are just soft and naked, and it's a good 35-40 seconds. And that's why this is a special wine, the finish. It's not for everybody. It's
no, it's not.
Kind of a backwards wine in that it doesn't have much front palate, except what's there I kind of love. that pencil lead minerality thing, and then, you know, any fruit that's there, I guess, is in the mid palate, but it's nondescript berry. But the other things that are there, that red meat, that there's like a earthy thing going on. I wouldn't call it quite an earthy spice, but it's somewhere out there, like a marjoram thing or something. I guess in the finish there might be some stewed fruit going on, maybe, but really it's raw tannin and that French oak that, you know, Rob mentioned you might consider it to be American oak. But I'm solid for a 91 all day, and I kind of want to score higher, but I'm sticking with a 91 of my points.
And on to me. The problem I have with this wine, when you get into this price range, you really need to show something special. And you need to be more than just, I'm big, I'm burly, I'm a sledgehammer. Oh my gosh, look how big my tannins are. Oh, look how my oak comes in and kicks you in the face. Oh, look, I have, you know, burly black tar and, you know, this nasty black. You need to do more than that. You need to be transcendent. You need to be special. You need to be a wine that I'm going to remember 8 months from now, a year from now. You need to be a wine that is unique, that stands out from a crowd, that is exceptional. This wine doesn't do that.
I think it stands out. And no. I think you'll remember it 8 months from now. It's distinct.
Tastes like Thomas Goss Shiraz. No, I mean, it does. Lord. Although it's not as highly scored. I'm providing this wine 90 of my points.
Okay.
Now, I'm harsh on it because it costs over $100. We didn't pay for this, but it still costs more than $100. And that's a lot of fucking money for a wine that tastes as good as many wines we've had at one-tenth the price. Not one-tenth. We've had wines that are good.
We've had cheap wines that have been $90.91, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Give me the Chateau La Prade any day. Give me, quite frankly, give me the Phoenix. Give me a Phoenix Cabernet any day.
Well,
I'd rather drink it.
Oh, easy.
I'd rather drink it.
The thing about this is it's not an everyday drinker. For certain.
I never get around to it. I mean, I'm going to put it in the Hall of Fame because of the scores, I guess. And it's expensive and it looks good. But
it doesn't have to go in the Hall of Fame if you don't want
no,
to.
No, it's not going to.
It's merit.
It's going to go over there next to those. It's going to go over there.
It's a meritorious wine. It's just you feel that it's for decorative. The monkeys that you'd have to pay, it's not worth the it's the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
It ain't. This wine is
the QPR level for you is low.
I don't see any planet where this has the nuance for a 96. It's too compact and guttural to get near that. I didn't taste it when he tasted it.
Well,
but at the same time, I've tasted it down the road, and it's been stored properly by me. It doesn't. Does it taste a foul? I don't know what happened before got here.
I don't think so. I think this is what it is. It's just an unusual structure.
Yeah. Well, stylistically, it's not for me. It's not for the Triple B.
We're gonna go out with a song, folks.
I assume Triple B would have given it in like an 85.
You got what I need,
but. I mean,
you say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Scott, oh, baby, you.
You know what, though?
You got what I need.
It's a wine that the first sip, you like it a lot. And then there's diminishing returns after that sip. That can't be denied here. First time we tasted it, we went, ooh. And as it went along, it wore on us. And it wasn't something that you really longed to go back to. You said, I want another sip. It became a chore after a certain point. That's this wine. And you know that's true. Scott, you know it's true. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Baby, you.
Nevertheless, folks.
You got what I need.
We're going to bid you.
You say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend.
For Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
His soul. That was such a good song.
The Triple B, at least 35% of the show, and myself, Rob the Wine Guy, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.